When we got here, it was not a national monument. And this afternoon, it's now Bears Ears National Monument.
This week on KSL Plus.
Proclamation to fully restore the boundaries of Bears Ears.
A reversal in a years-long land dispute in southern Utah.
Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument.
President Joe Biden expanding Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments. Drawing praise from tribal leaders and conservationists.
Brought tears to my eyes. To know that somebody in the Hall of Congress and the President of the United States decided to restore this.
And criticism from some residents and state leaders and delegates.
It's not good for the people that live in that area. It's not good for people that want to recreate in that area. And it's not good for the land in particular.
But why the back and forth over the years? And what does this latest decision mean for the land and people moving forward?
I'm Matt Rascone. And this is KSL Plus.
In 1996, President Bill Clinton designated Grand Staircase Escalante a national monument. In other words, offering the land protection. In 2016, President Barack Obama did the same to Bears Ears. But just 1 year later, in 2017, President Donald Trump downsized the two monuments, carving out about 85% of Bears Ears and cutting Grand Staircase in half.
These are the crown jewels of the lands managed by the Interior Department in the United States.
The response was immediate. Opposition and lawsuits followed, coupled with applause from many in Utah. Not unlike the scene we see playing out today.
We think it is an abuse of the Antiquities Act if it were to return to those previous boundaries.
This is a debate with a lot of stakeholders, a lot of different reasons why people do or do not support it, and a lot of ideas about an alternative. So let's take a look at the issues. First, it's become a political issue. In the eyes of many leaders in Utah's state and federal government, this is an act of federal overreach. Here's Utah House Speaker Brad Wilson.
For a variety of reasons, a legislative solution would be better. I mean, we would be able to get everyone to agree to what makes sense for the area with local input. But more importantly, or as important, we would also be able to establish the funding required to manage the lands. We would be able to come to agreements on who is going to take which areas of responsibility. We would have clarity for the long term, and we would know what the plan is going to be for the long term. But right now, we're going to just see this go back and forth as administrations change, most likely, and it's not going to be good for anyone.
13 Native American tribes can trace their lineage to this area, while many white residents in the area can claim their ancestors settled on the land. Either way, many believe this is a decision that should be made by the people with actual ties to the land and not politicians across the country. Others are concerned the designation was made through executive order, not legislative action.
Well, it's probably a better question for our federal delegation. We have been in conversations with them. I think they're anxious and would like to try to find a solution that Congress can work through. But you do have to have a willing partner in the White House as well. And so we've got some work to do there.
But for 3 years, state and federal leaders went back and forth on Representative Rob Bishop's bill called the Public Lands Initiative and designating basically the same area to be federally protected. It couldn't get passed through Congress, and activists asked President Obama to sign the executive order as a last-ditch effort to save the land. One concern with executive orders is that it will get reversed with every new administration, whereas legislative decision is more set in stone.
Here's what the Utah Solicitor General had to say about it.
For the last 10 months, the state has been asking the president to work with the state to come up with a legislative solution. So this has now been five presidents, 30 decades. It would be great to do that. And particularly because with a legislative solution comes funding. And right now, President Biden is inviting the world to come to these, but they don't have the infrastructure and the law enforcement to enforce the already many protections. There are half a dozen federal statutes that protect these lands already in these areas already to enforce those.
But Stephen Block of the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance says there is history to support this designation.
National monuments were always intended to be permanent, durable protections for the land. I think the right way to view what the Trump administration did, what the president did, is as an aberration. I think history will come down on the side of preserving and protecting these lands. It has time and time again in Utah. You don't hear Utah politicians saying that places like Zion National Park or Capitol Reef or arches shouldn't have been national monuments first, right? We're all incredibly grateful for the protections, and it's really the same here. Conserving and protecting these lands is the right choice for history. You know, we're not going to look back and say that a decision to preserve these places was a mistake. Time and time again in Utah and around the West, we've seen that when presidents act, use their authority under the Antiquities Act, that was the right decision. We hear a lot, I think, from the governor and from the delegation, some hand-wringing that they wish the president had waited, that there had been a legislative solution. That really rings hollow. They were never saying that over the past 4 years. After President Trump unlawfully dismantled the monuments, they weren't clamoring for a legislative solution. They were very happy with that unlawful status quo. And if they were serious about it, they would have acted then. Of course, it's always Congress's prerogative to act and protect these places, and we'd be very interested in having that conversation if they're serious about it.
Next, it's an economic issue. Two-thirds of Utah is already considered public land, meaning the state is limited in where it can collect property taxes. The area of Bears Ears was already federally owned, but some worry this designation will come with environmental regulations that will impact grazing, timber, and mining. For example, nearby Blanding has the country's only uranium mine and employs about 150 people. One study found the areas around Grand Staircase saw a 38% jump in job growth in the years after it became a monument, as more tourists came to the area. But those hospitality jobs are usually lower paying and only available part of the year, in contrast to industry jobs. But that leads us to the final issue. Protecting the land and its cultural significance.
As an indigenous person, the land and whatever is on it, the plant, the animals, that's more precious than anything else.
Mary Benali is a board member of Dina Bakaya, a group that works to protect and preserve Bears Ears and other cultural uses of public lands by tribes.
This piece of land, the Bears Ears National Monument, is 1.3 some odd numbers now. It's a small piece of land, and we don't want any development, we don't want any mining, we don't want any kind of extraction. There's other lands that already happened then, and they can just do it over there. But this land is a sacred place for us. We want to keep this land in its pristine state, as it has always been. The indigenous people migrated through here, all the Colorado Basin tribes, the Hopis, the Zunis, the Utes, the Navajos, and others. And our history is here. Our history is here. We still have the structures. We still have the petroglyphs. And you see some of the Navajo residential structures still in place. And that's our history. And we want to keep this land as it is. We don't want any change.
Some worry that more tourists will actually cause harm to the more than 100,000 archaeological sites in the area, with not enough staff to monitor the area and new interest. But again, Stephen Block of the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance feels this is the best way to protect the land.
I think we've seen in both monuments, especially in Bears Ears, a real uptick in visitation. And it's going to be essential, and we're thankful that the administration said it's going to prioritize working with tribes, state, local leaders, to make sure that when people visit this area, they're respectful, that there's stewardship for the sites, so there's context and understanding about what they're seeing and what you're not allowed to do. I mean, these sites, the sacred sites in Bears Ears National Monument, for example, thousands of years old, and that damage is real. And so we're grateful that the administration is prioritizing the conservation and stewardship of those places.
For the people that were there first, this designation means protecting areas of the land that are sacred to them. With this designation, two federal agencies and five Native American tribes who have historical claims to the land will manage it. Kenneth Maryboy is a former Navajo Nation Council delegate and former San Juan County Commissioner.
You know, a lot of people from the outside are looking at the areas for mining and oil and all different things. Those may be good, but if we take Mother Earth away, we don't get a second chance. Nobody's going to say, oh, you guys screwed up this whole earth, and so therefore we'll give you another one. Don't worry about it. There's no way that's going to happen. We have to live together to preserve and to try to save what we have to continue for the generation to come.
According to the Bears Ears Coalition, it's not just about protecting the history of the land, but also the future. The coalition says the Navajo and Ute people often go to this area to collect food, herbs, and medicines, wood for heating, and other ceremonial purposes. Those practices keep them connected physically and spiritually to their ancestors. They believe they are the best stewards of the land, using traditional practices to sustain it for future use. The battle of economic interests, protecting culturally significant land, and environmental issues is, of course, not unique to Utah. We're seeing this play out with the Keystone Pipeline, which will run through sacred Native American land and created a lot of environmental concerns. This is an issue that isn't likely to go away soon. Thanks for joining us here on KSL Plus. I'm Matt Rascone, and we'll see you again next week.